spirit, or what we eat and holiness. Food and spirit. We already heard this before, but I'm repeating it today because the Lord has been putting in my heart to do it again. What we eat is very important to the Lord. And sometimes we don't even put much attention to it. And I'm teaching this to myself again too, because I had to get myself more interested in what I eat. We generally ask the Lord's blessing for our food, but is He going to bless it? Is He going to bless what we're eating? Does He bless everything we eat and drink? At Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, it was found out years and years ago that demons came into people who had eaten blood, or that their ancestors had eaten blood. And when I say eat blood, I don't mean you just take a bowl of soup full of blood and drink it, you know. It's just cooked into foods, and there are several cultures that do cook blood. In Cuba, they did a blood dessert, blood pudding, which it's done, I believe, in Louisiana too. In Louisiana, they have a sausage that is made with blood. Is that what's called boudin? And in Spain, they have a sausage that is made with blood that is called morcilla. And in plenty of other cultures, they have. And we eat blood. Well, when people eat blood, it was found out that demons come into those people. Now, let's see why the demons have a reason or a legal right to come into people when you eat blood. Leviticus 3:17 says, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood." Now, perpetual means lasting or enduring forever, or for an indefinitely long time. Eternal, permanent, continuing indefinitely, without interruption, constant. So, this is for today, because it's perpetual. We haven't even got to the end of time yet. So, it's for now. In Leviticus 7:23-27, it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, you shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat." Now, I want you to realize that ox, sheep, and goat were the animals used in the sacrifices, and they were clean animals. We're not even talking about unclean animals. We're talking about clean animals. And they could not eat blood of those animals. "And the fat of the beast that dies of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts, may be used in any other use. But you shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eats the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eats it shall be cut off from his people. And that is a curse of death upon the person. Moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eats any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people." So, neither the fat nor the blood. Both of them have a curse if you eat blood or if you eat fat. And it's a curse of death. And the demons that come with this curse will tried to get you to die through a sickness. Leviticus 17:10, and whatsoever man there be of a house of Israel, or of a stranger sojourn among you, that eats any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. The same thing. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. Down into the ground. The blood is supposed to go down into the ground. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all the flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eats it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which dies of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Then shall he be clean. But if he wash not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. In other words, it's going to be in sin. And Deuteronomy 12:16, only you shall not eat the blood, you shall pour it upon the earth as water. And Deuteronomy 12:23, only be sure that you eat not the blood, for the blood is the life. And thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. Thou shalt not eat it, thou shalt pour it upon the earth as water. Thou shalt not eat it, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Deuteronomy 12:23-25. So we see that not only there is a curse, it's a generational curse when he says that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. So this was found out at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp when demons started saying that they had come in because the person had eaten blood. Okay, this is the practical part of it. I mean, you could say the other is theory, and this is the practical. We found out the practical part, and then we come back and see that the theory was there all the time, which is not theory, it's a commandment. Okay, why is this so important? From the beginning to the end of the Bible, the Lord is very concerned about what we eat and what food we eat. If we go to the beginning of the Bible, when the Lord created the earth, what was the first commandment that he gave? The first commandment that he gave is not the first of the Ten Commandments, because those were given thousands of years afterwards, I think, when Moses was walking on the earth. This is when he just, the earth was freshly made, and the human race was freshly made. Genesis 1:29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And in Genesis 2, 7 and 8, when he formed Adam, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. And a little bit later in Genesis 2:15, the first time that God talked to Adam, after he had made Adam, the first time he talked to him, what did he say? And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of a garden thou mayest freely eat, but of a tree of a knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. That's the first thing that God told man, what to eat and what not to eat. I mean, he didn't tell Adam, you can't kill somebody, you don't be an adulterer. He didn't give him the Ten Commandments. He only gave him this one commandment, the first time that God talked to man, what to eat and what not to eat. And I'm bringing this up because I want you to see the importance that God puts in what we eat. What we eat is important to God. Now, this is the first time that God talked to man. And what happened the first time that Satan talked to man? Genesis 3:1 is the first time that Satan talks to man. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here we have, again, about eating. So it is important if Satan knows what is important to God and what is not important to God, and he always hits us about what is important to God. So he started tempting Eve about what to eat. Well, then you know what happened. They ate the wrong thing, and the whole thing came apart. Now the earth was Satan's because of disobeying what to eat. I mean, it was not lust, it was not adultery, it was not murder, it was not envy, strife, it was what to eat that they disobeyed. So what happened afterwards? Three curses came upon Adam. And this is in Genesis 3:17-19. And he said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree. He ate, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Second curse. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Third curse. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The three curses is about eating. Because he disobeyed about eating, the three curses that came had to do with eating. So now they are out of a garden, and Cain kills Abel. And why does Cain kill Abel? What was the reason? I mean, you can go a lot about this. I mean, you could put three sermons together about this, but I'm going to be very simple. Genesis 4, 2 to 5. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of a sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. They were working on things that are food. Sheep were not supposed to be eaten at that time. They were not supposed to be eat meat. So Abel was keeping sheep used for sacrifices. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, of course, it was envy or rejection or whatever you want to say, but it was over food again. Over the food that was offered to the Lord. Now, after the flood, the Lord again tells Noah what to eat. Now, Noah was the head of a household, the only household left on the earth at that time. And what is the first thing he tells him? What to eat. Genesis 9, 1 to 4. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and all that moves upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Now, for the first time, man can eat meat. The Lord is allowing Noah, and I'm not going to go into this explanation now of why now man could eat meat, but immediately he told Noah that he could eat the meat but not the blood. So we can see that eating has spiritual significance. God knows it and the demons know it, but we are the ones who don't know it. Now, if you were before the throne of God, what do you think would be the thing that you would do while you are in the presence of God? Do you have any idea? Would you eat? Would you have a meal when you are in front of the throne of God? In Exodus 24, 9 to 11, it says, then went up Moses. He went up to the mountain of the Lord. And Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Was a contingent. A lot of people went. All the main leaders of Israel went up the mountain. Exodus 24, 9. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. And as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God, and they did eat and drink. That's all what the Bible tells us. But that's very significant to me, because why eat and drink in the presence of God? God in his throne and these 75, 76 people that went up the mountain decided, let's have a picnic here. I think that God served that table for them. I think God told them to eat, because they wouldn't have there unpacked their little baskets and start eating right there. That was commanded by God. And what they ate is a mystery, because they didn't say what they ate. Now, what is the most important holiday of Israel, the oldest and most important holiday of the people of Israel? Passover is the most important, and they celebrate it every year for thousands and thousands of years. They have been celebrating it. And if you remember that God wanted to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he sent all these curses and plagues and things over Egypt, and the Pharaoh was resistant, letting them go, and finally the Lord decided that he was going to kill the elder child of every family. And that's when he had the little lamb brought to their houses, and then they had to kill the lamb and put the blood on the door, because the angel of death from the Lord was going to come over and pass over every, he was going to get into every house that did not have the blood and kill the elder child, but he was going to pass over the houses that had the blood on the door. It was a phenomenal, tremendous happening. It was, I mean, chilling if you think about it, how these kids would die, all of them, one by one, in every household that did not have the blood. But what did God tell the Jewish people to do in the meantime? What did he say to do while the angel of death was passing over? He said to eat and drink. Eat and drink. And the only stipulation was you had to eat and drink standing up, not laying down. But he told them also what to eat. Now, this is a very important holiday, a very important happening for the children of, and the, you know, all the children of Israel. And it's about eating too. Now, why did God want them to eat as this was happening? He could have told them, get in your knees and pray, or, you know, any other thing. But he said, eat. Let's read that. Exodus 12, 5 to 13. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of a first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the top of the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it, in the houses where they shall eat that lamb. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. He laid out the whole menu himself. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Numbers 9:11-14. The 14th day of the second month at even they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean, and is not in a journey, and forbears to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people. Because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. So, in the most important holiday of Israel, they were commanded to eat and drink, and the Lord said exactly what to eat. Now again, the offerings for the Lord were always food. Now, have you thought about that? He could have asked for gold. He could have asked for pearls. He could have asked for stones or leaves or whatever he wanted to ask for. But what he asked for was food. And the food was always, when it came to meat, when it came to the flesh of animals, was always clean animals, not unclean animals. He could have asked for flowers. So the offerings were the same animals that he wanted his people to eat, except for the fat and the blood. The fat and the blood were reserved for him. The fat offered was burned, and the blood offered was poured on the earth at the foot of the altar. Abel's blood was poured on the earth. Jesus' blood was poured on the earth at the foot of the cross. The offerings were bullocks, lamb, goat, turtle doves, pigeons, cake, and breads made with grains, olive oil, wine, and salt. And the offerings were also eaten by the priest. The priest could eat the offerings. In Leviticus 6, it says, and this is the law of a meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar. And he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering, and of the oil thereof, and all the frankincense which is upon the meat offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor, even the memorial of it unto the Lord. And the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of the congregation they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering and as a trespass offering. Leviticus 6:18. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Everyone that touches them shall be holy. Leviticus 6, 25 to 27. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is a law of a sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest that offers it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of a tabernacle of a congregation. So they were going to eat it in the holy place. Not in the Holy of Holies. They could come into that only once a year, and not for eating. But in the holy place, right next to the Holy of Holies, they would eat this. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy, and when there is sprinkled on the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place.